Is this Palm Sunday?
It is Palm Sunday. Well, it's going to be Palm Sunday.
This is as
we're outside of time.
Right. As you probably know, this is the third of the four servant songs. Isaiah 50. What is it? 4 to 9.
9A is what
it really goes on through 11. I'm not completely convinced that the servant songs need to be isolated the way they often are. That was kind of an old form critical assumption about how the scriptures text got put together. And reading more holistically argues against that, especially since the servant is a theme throughout Isaiah, especially the second half. It's not limited to these texts, but these are places at least where this much is true, and that you have this sort of first-person connection to the servant, whoever the referent of the servant is, which of course is hotly debated, probably goes beyond. Well, to summarize, there's the individual assumption, which goes to essentially the prophet, Isaiah, or whoever you think may have written this, that it's more corporate Israel as the suffering servant. Or three, the sort of messianic interpretation that this is referring ultimately to the servant who comes in the Christ. And I think we would sort of argue that while the messianic is certainly the correct identification of the servant, it's not exclusively leaving out both us as individuals, as members of the body of Christ and those who are in Christ, or the corporate people of God who are also the body of Christ. So this incorporation into the life of the servant, and if that isn't a powerful theme to walk into Holy Week with, you haven't been paying attention. This is exactly what's going on. Well, let's translate. One commentary I remember referred to this song as the Gethsemane of the suffering servant. If the fourth poem, of course, is Isaiah 53 or 52-53, that's the Good Friday of the suffering servant. So, and each servant song seems to take us kind of one step closer to the cross, almost. And here you sort of have this personal, I mean, even the part about pulling your beard and spitting and stuff, certainly sounds a lot like the night in which he was betrayed. Adonai Yahweh has given to me the tongue of taut guys. Not taut as in stretch tight, but taut as in teach taut. Teached. Lamad is the word to teach. This is the noun for students. The Talmud is related to that same Lamad as the teaching. To know, ladas, infinitive construct of yada, to know, la'uth. There'll be literature on parsing uth. It seems to be the infinitive of hollow verb uth. But it's a rare verb, and it's one of those things where the lexicographers are even scratching their head. The context demands something like it's always translated, to uphold or sustain or encourage, because he's... The servant says, Adonai Yahweh has given me the tongue, a taught tongue, that is an instructed tongue, so that he can know, and you'd almost say, how to do something to the weary ones. Well, it's got to be something like sustain or encourage, uphold. Now, usually translated sustain, ya'af means to be tired, just pooped out. It's a state of a verb here used as a noun adjective. Weary guys, a word. A note asnach on Devar. This should be the end of this line. Here's where the old text editors decided that counting words was more important than well, even the sense of the poetry, not just the sense of the sentence. So I think Yair clearly goes with the next line. So far, again, to know, to sustain... the weary with a word. We had to know a word to sustain the weary. That might be better. To know a word. Yair, baboker, baboker, Yair. Just nice poetic line. Huh? He will, or he awakens in the morning. In the morning, he awakens. Ya'ir means to sort of rouse somebody out of sleep. He awakens in the morning. In the morning, he awakens to me an ear. Okay, first the tongue, now the ear. The ear to hear like the learned guys again, the taught ones. That's the same lamud we had before. To hear like the taught ones. Adonai Yahweh has opened to me the ear, an ear, and I not marad. I did not rebel. Marad means to fight back or rebel. And I did not rebel backwards, achor, not I nisugothi. Ooh, you want to parse that one, Dr. Gibbs?
That would be a verb.
Right, you got a helping holem. This is what's so exciting. Yeah, and hollow root sug in the nifal. The nun is nifal. Right, very good. Very good.
First common singular.
Got it. Nifal, perfect. With the hollows in the derived conjugations have a helping holem. So, resug means to retreat, go back. So, backwards I have not retreated. Gei, my backside, gei is your back. My backside I have given to makim. That's the participle of naka, first nun, third hey, they both go away. So, these are the hitting guys. Naka means to whack, pretty hard. So my back I gave to the smiters, if you will, and my cheek, lahi is the cheekbone, jaw, to the guys who pull out a beard. This is a verb that means to pull hair out. It's got to be what it means. Not a very happy metaphor. Or image. Remember that the beard is really almost a symbol of wisdom and age and maturity and stature. So this was part of public humiliation. Not just the pain, which is not pleasant to think about, but it's also a public humiliation. My face, 6b, my face not I hid. Satar means to hide in the Hithiel. My face I did not hide from Kilimos, from shame. Kelim is the verb for to bring shame to somebody or to be ashamed. Usually brought upon you from somebody else, like dishonor, disrespect, shame. And roke means spitting, a word you wouldn't know unless you looked it up. So here you have this image. Suddenly the guy, you know, in the first verse, he's sort of giving encouragement to the weak and weary. And now all of a sudden, God's opened up his ear, not to hear good things so that he can go out and save the world. But he sort of received humbly the commission of God. And this is costing him all sorts of public scorn, disgrace, and pain and suffering. What's wrong with this picture? Verse 7. Adonai Yahweh, note this, Adonai Yahweh, I mean, hello, you see this coming again and again, in sort of a new stanza, I would say. Adonai Yahweh has helped me, azar, to help, or will help me, if you want to be faithful to the imperfect. Therefore, Alkain, not niklamti, niklamti, in pause. This is the same verb we saw before in the noun, kalami, kalamoth. To be ashamed in the Nephil. Therefore, not I will be put to shame. Therefore, I have placed panai, my face, like the chelamish, is the word for flint, rock, stone, hard. Jesus even set his face like flint at some point. Doesn't he do that in Luke 9? Therefore, I have set my face like the flint, which really is the metaphor for a certainty, resolution. This is where I'm going, and I'm not turning back. And I have known, or I know, again, the tense, this seems to be, if you want to parse it, imperfect while consecutive from yada. And I know that not I will be boshed, another word for shame, or be ashamed. I think a bosh is more sort of internal shame. You're just a doofus, sort of. You're just there. And you kind of. Verse 8, near, now the metaphor shifts a little bit. Suddenly we're kind of in a courtroom scene where the public scorn is not just out and about, but now suddenly I'm being brought up on trial. Where are we? 8. Karov. Near is my tzaddiking guy. Hiphil participle with the main. Root tzaddak, to be righteous. Hiphil, make righteous. This is a great Lutheran hiphil, right? Cause to be righteous. Impute, declare righteous. Near is, and the key at the end, of course, is the pronominal suffix, my. So the one who makes me righteous, causes me righteous. Who will yariv? Who will reeve with me? Reeve is the word for a public lawsuit, sort of bring a case against me. So now we're in a courtroom near, and he's going, well, I'm walking into the courtroom knowing that the judge is on my side. He's already near to me, the guy who will sort of make me righteous, declare me righteous. So who's gonna fight me on this one? Let us stand together. Amad, kal cohortative. Let us stand. Yahad is together. So it's kind of like, who's up for this one? I'm going in. Even though I'm kind of put on trial, even though I'm the guy who's being ashamed, even though I'm the guy who's getting beat up on this, I'm walking into the courtroom the winner. And nobody can take that verdict away from me. Who is the Baal of my mishpat? The Lord of my judgment. Probably a metaphor for the accuser, the guy who's trying to win the case. Let him come near, from Nagash, let him come near Eli to me. 9. One more time. Behold, Adonai Yahweh will help me. Who is he? This is the sort of the use of he as the one. Who is the one who? You can almost make a relative clause out of this. Who will rasha me? Rasha is to bad. And here in the Hiphil, it would probably mean to declare guilty, to indicate or cause someone to be bad or guilty. So it's almost a contrast to the one who makes righteous. So who is the guy who will make me guilty? Behold, all of them, kul'am, all of them, like a beged. Beged is the word for garment, general word. Behold, all of them like a garment will bala. Bala means to kind of wear away, disappear in by use. All of them like a garment will wear out. And os is a moth, another word you wouldn't know unless you either looked it up or remembered this verse. A moth will eat them, from a cow. So here the metaphor shifts again one more time almost to the people who are against me as those who simply don't have any staying power. Whatever this is, they're gonna dissipate. That's the end, but let's quickly just run through 10 and 11 because this kind of brings it on home. Who among you is a fearer of Yahweh, hearing the voice of his servant? Now this is kind of the application. It sort of turns to the crowd, if you will, and say, okay, what have you learned from my little poem here? Whoever walks or would walk darkness, and there is not light for him, and for whom there is no light, let him batak in the name of Yahweh, let him trust in the name of Yahweh, and let him rely, sha'an in the nifal, always means to rely, let him rely on his God. There's the point. 11, behold, now this sort of goes back to what we said in verse 10, or about the 9, I guess, about the people kind of not having staying power. Behold, all of them, all of you, are like guys who kindle, kadach h, fire. See the participle. Kindlers of fire. And one's girding, azir is actually, the azur is the girdle, and who circle yourselves, clothe yourselves, girdle yourselves with sparks. Now, again, nobody knows exactly what the metaphor here is. Are these people that sort of hurl fire at you in some way, shape, or form? Was this some sort of a pagan ritual they're actually trying to describe with fire? Hard to know. Anyway, he's saying to them, behold, all of you who are now, it's not just you who should be faithful, you see, it's also you who are being unfaithful and hurling the insults. This is kind of, you know, it's not only about Jesus, it's really about Jesus, but it's also, Jesus is there because the ones who hurled the insults at him and even caused him to go to the cross are precisely those for whom he prays, Father, forgive them. And these are the people who I've come to save. So the goal here is actually that those who are outside get connected inside. Come in the light, or walk in the light of your fire. Okay, you want to walk in the light of your fire? And in the brands, if you will, the sparks you have made. So either you're invited in the previous line to trust in Yahweh, or this, come to think of it, frankly, this verse is kind of saying, or if you don't, live your, go, you know, what's our metaphor? You made your bed, now sleep in it. Right. You got your fire, now walk in it.
You kindled your fire.
Now burn in it, yeah. From my hand, miyadi, literally, this has been, again, it's an odd use of the perfect. Hayatha is the perfect third person with Zoth. This has been to you. This is what's coming to you to torment, ma'zeva, ma'atseva, and, no, to torment Tish Kavun from Shekav. You will lie down, probably in death. And now it sort of ends on a downer, as do a lot of poetic poems, where you kind of make the main point sort of at the two-thirds mark. It's the end of the middle section. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it sort of recircles back to Psalm 95 does that, which is why we only sing the first two-thirds of it as the Venite.
Yeah.
As a classic example. And you sort of end, even the book of Isaiah ends this way. All right, I've used up my time.
Your word is not
yeah,
true.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for indulging.
Absolutely.
I can stick around a little bit.